Hello and welcome back to The Power of Now, a guide to spiritual enlightenment with Gilda and Barbara. We're doing a book study on this book written by Eckhart Tolle, and we hope you have your copy so that you can follow along. Today we are on Chapter 9, Section 3, Beyond Happiness and Unhappiness, There is Peace, Impermanence and the Cycles of Life. My name is Barbara Wainwright and I'm here with Gilda Simone. Welcome, Gilda.
Thank you. Impermanence and the cycles of life. However, as long as you're in the physical dimension and linked to the collective human psyche, physical pain, although rare, is still possible. This is not to be confused with suffering, with mental emotional pain. All suffering is ego created and is due to resistance. Also, as long as you are in this dimension, you are still subject to its cyclical nature and to the law of impermanence of all things. But you no longer perceive this as bad. It just is.
I love that. You no longer perceive this as bad, but when you are connected to all that is and you have that wisdom and understanding, anytime you perceive anything as bad, that's judgment. And it'd be great to get into the place of it just is. Through allowing the isness of all things, a deeper dimension underneath the play of opposites reveals itself to you as an abiding presence, an unchanging, deep stillness, an uncaused joy beyond good and bad. This is the joy of being, the peace of God.
On the level of form, there is birth and death, creation and destruction, growth and dissolution of seemingly separate forms. This is reflected everywhere. In the life cycle of a star or a planet, a physical body, a tree, a flower, in the rise and fall of nations, political systems, civilizations, and in the inevitable cycles of gain and loss in the life of an individual.
There are cycles of success when things come to you and thrive, and cycles of failure when they wither or disintegrate and you have to let them go in order to make room for new things to arise, or for transformation to happen. If you cling and resist at that point, it means you are refusing to go with the flow of life and you will suffer. And this is so true. I think of the times that people cling on to jobs that aren't serving them and they're meant for so much more, or meant to do something completely different, which would be so much more soul satisfying, but they stay in the job. They call it the golden handcuffs. They stay in the job because they're getting a great salary, or they have security, supposed security. There's no such thing. And then, you know, because they stay in that place, clinging to it, they're missing out on all the opportunities that the universe is trying to gift them with, and they suffer.
I like that. I've never heard that before, the golden handcuffs.
Oh, yeah.
It is not true that the up cycle is good and the down cycle bad, except in the mind's judgment. Growth is usually considered positive, but nothing can grow forever. If growth, of whatever kind, were to go on and on, it would eventually become monstrous and destructive. Dissolution is needed for new growth to happen. One cannot exist without the other.
And that is so true. And I'm thinking back because of the global pandemic, how things had to end, such as live events ended abruptly. A lot of small businesses had to close. And out of that came a new way of communication, which was getting on the internet and connecting with people virtually. So that was the same kind of thing he's talking about here, that dissolution happened and new growth came out of it. The down cycle is absolutely essential for spiritual realization. You must have failed deeply on some level or experienced some deep loss or pain to be drawn to the spiritual dimension. Or perhaps your very success became empty and meaningless, and so turned out to be failure. Failure lies concealed in every success, and success in every failure. In this world, which is to say on the level of form, everybody fails sooner or later, of course, and every achievement eventually comes to naught. All forms are impermanent. In the spiritual world, the down cycle is called the dark night of the soul. And many, many spiritual teachers have gone through that deep loss where they got drawn into the spiritual dimension and therefore discovered the peace that surpasses all understanding, the peace of God.
You can still be active and enjoy manifesting and creating new forms and circumstances, but you won't be identified with them. You do not need them to give you a sense of self. They are not your life, only your life situation.
Your physical energy is also subject to cycles. It cannot always be at a peak. There will be times of low as well as high energy. There will be periods when you are highly active and creative, but there may also be times when everything seems stagnant, when it seems that you are not getting anywhere, not achieving anything. A cycle can last for anything from a few hours to a few years. There are large cycles and small cycles within these large ones. Many illnesses are created through fighting the cycles of low energy, which are vital for regeneration. The compulsion to do and the tendency to derive your sense of self-worth and identity from external factors such as achievement is an inevitable illusion as long as you're identified with the mind. This makes it hard or impossible for you to accept the low cycles and allow them to be. Thus, the intelligence of the organism may take over as a self-protective measure and create an illness in order to force you to stop so that the necessary regeneration can take place. Well, that's a powerful paragraph right there. And if you are suffering from an illness or a physical ailment, what he's saying here is you needed to take a break and you didn't. And so now you are disabled in some way.
Everything's crashing down on you.
Yes. So pay attention to that. Stop. Hibernate, if you will, if you can. Relax. Tap into the energy of all that is. Allow that to come through and rejuvenate and regenerate you.
The cyclical nature of the universe is closely linked with the impermanence of all things and situations. The Buddha made this a central part of his teaching. All conditions are highly unstable and in constant flux, or as he put it, Impermanence is a characteristic of every condition, every situation you will ever encounter in your life. It will change, disappear, or no longer satisfy you. Impermanence is also central to Jesus' teaching. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal.
As long as a condition is judged as good by your mind, whether it be a relationship, a possession, a social role, a place, or your physical body, the mind attaches itself to it and identifies with it. It makes you happy, makes you feel good about yourself, and it may become part of who you are or think you are. But nothing lasts in this dimension where moth and rust consume. Either it ends or it changes, or it may undergo a polarity shift. The same condition that was good yesterday or last year has suddenly or gradually turned into bad. The same condition that made you happy then makes you unhappy. The prosperity of today becomes the empty consumerism of tomorrow. The happy wedding and honeymoon become the unhappy divorce, the unhappy coexistence. Or a condition disappears, so its absence makes you happy. When a condition or situation that the mind has attached itself to and identified with changes or disappears, the mind cannot accept it. It will cling to the disappearing condition and resist the change. It is almost as if a limb were being torn off your body.
We sometimes hear of people who have lost all their money or whose reputations have been ruined, committing suicide. Those are the extreme cases. Others, whenever a major loss of one kind or another occurs, just become deeply unhappy or make themselves ill. They cannot distinguish between their life and their life situation. I recently read about a famous actress who died in her 80s. As her beauty started to fade and became ravaged by old age, she grew deeply unhappy and became a recluse. She too had identified with the condition, her external appearance. First, the condition gave her a happy sense of self, then an unhappy one. If she had been able to connect with the formless and timeless life within, she could have watched and allowed the fading of her external form from a place of serenity and peace. Moreover, her external form would have become increasingly transparent to the light shining through from her ageless true nature. So her beauty would not have really faded, but simply become transformed into spiritual beauty. However, nobody told her that this is possible. The most essential kind of knowledge is not yet widely accessible.
The Buddha taught that even your happiness is dukkha, a Pali word meaning suffering or unsatisfactoriness. It is inseparable from its opposite. This means that your happiness and unhappiness are in fact one. Only the illusion of time separates them.
This is not being negative. It is simply recognizing the nature of things, so that you don't pursue an illusion for the rest of your life. Nor is it saying that you should no longer appreciate pleasant or beautiful things, but to seek something through them that they cannot give, an identity, a sense of permanency and fulfillment, is a recipe for frustration and suffering. The whole advertising industry and consumer society would collapse if people became enlightened and no longer sought to find their identity through things. The more you seek happiness in this way, the more it will elude you. Nothing out there will ever satisfy you, except temporarily and superficially. But you may need to experience many disillusionments before you realize the truth. Things and conditions can give you pleasure, but they will also give you pain. Things and conditions can give you pleasure, but they cannot give you joy. Nothing can give you joy. Joy is uncaused and arises from within as the joy of being. It is an essential part of the inner state of peace, the state that has been called the peace of God. It is your natural state, not something that you need to work hard for or struggle to attain.
Many people never realize that there can be no salvation in anything they do, possess, or attain. Those who do realize it often become world-weary and depressed. If nothing can give you true fulfillment, what is there left to strive for? What is the point in anything? The Old Testament prophet must have arrived at such a realization when he wrote, "I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind." When you reach this point, you are one step away from despair and one step away from enlightenment.
The Buddhist monk once told me, "All I have learned in the 20 years that I have been a monk, I can sum up in one sentence. All that arises passes away. This I know." What he meant, of course, was this: I have learned to offer no resistance to what is. I have learned to allow the present moment to be and to accept the impermanent nature of all things and conditions. Thus, I have found peace.
I love that. I love that. It comes back down to acceptance of what is, which leads to serenity and peace of mind. To offer no resistance to life is to be in a state of grace, ease, and lightness. This state is then no longer dependent upon things being in a certain way, good or bad. It seems almost paradoxical. Yet, when your inner dependency on form is gone, the general conditions of your life, the outer forms, tend to improve greatly. Things, people, or conditions that you thought you needed for your happiness now come to you with no struggle or effort on your part, and you are free to enjoy and appreciate them while they last. All those things, of course, will still pass away. Cycles will come and go. But with dependency gone, there's no fear of loss anymore. Life flows with ease. And I just know that this is so true. It's just so interesting. And it is so cyclical, our lives, how things come and go. And, you know, I know we're getting close to the end of this book. And this is going to be the end of this cycle of reading of this book, The Power of Now, A Guide to Spiritual Enlightenment. And it has been a true joy doing this. It's been a very giving experience, expecting nothing in return. And I have thoroughly enjoyed it. And I know that you have also, Gilda. It's a cycle. All of these things will come and go. And there's no fear of loss because life flows with ease.
You're right. And I do enjoy doing this because even though I'm not expecting to receive anything, I feel like every time we read this, I receive like new insights, new gifts. So it's like a beautiful thing.
truly is. And I feel the spiritual energy that just reading this information and sharing with other people, the spiritual energy that's generated from doing this is uplifting. It feels good. And I get a lot of inner joy doing this.
Yes, me too. So thank you again for asking me to do it with you.
Like I said, I wouldn't do it without you. So thank you for showing up.
The happiness that is derived from some secondary source is never very deep. It is only a pale reflection of the joy of being. The vibrant peace that you find within as you enter the state of non-resistance. Being takes you beyond the polar opposites of the mind and frees you from dependency on form. Even if everything were to collapse and crumble all around you, you would still feel a deep inner core of peace. You may not be happy, but you will be at peace. And I can relate to that on so many levels. It was such a beautiful section.
Absolutely. I agree. It's recognizing, not from an ego-based thought, but from a universal spiritual thought, that form is impermanent. It comes and goes. Same thing with, you know, our birth and death, people that come into our lives. Some people are here for a season, a reason, or a lifetime. And those that are in our lives for a lifetime, when they leave, it's a huge loss. So we experience that, knowing that we're still connected because we're all spiritual entities, and that universal wisdom and connectiveness is there forever. It doesn't go away. It isn't impermanent. It's everlasting peace. I guess the biggest message here that I'm getting from this section is that everything is impermanent. Therefore, don't get attached to people, places, or things, your job, your home, your life situation. Stay in the flow of universal energy so that you can live a life of peace. That's the end of this section. Impermanence and the cycles of life. Very deep topic and a lot to think about. And until next week, we'll see you then. I hope you have a great week. Bye now.
Bye.
If you've enjoyed this podcast and you'd like to go deeper into a spiritual conversation, you can join our Facebook group, The Power of Now, A Guide to Spiritual Enlightenment with Gilda and Barbara. Or you can contribute by going to WainwrightGlobal.com/go/support.